It's still January. It's the last Sunday of January. We're still focused on the subject of vision. Vision. Today is the final day formerly of our 21-day fasting period. We've been seeking the Lord's understanding concerning how we see our role in this world as Christians. God's will. Do we have a vision for what God has purposed that we be doing? Our text this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is in the context of Paul's instruction concerning the use of spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. Starting in verse 12, the Apostle Paul says, "Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray it in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else, when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say, Amen, at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than ye all. Yet in the church I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men." May the Lord add His blessing as we look at His word today. Father, open our eyes and give us understanding of Your word, and through Your word, Your will. May You bless this time together. Lead us and guide us by the Holy Spirit. Help me, Lord, to be Your spokesman today, thinking and saying only those words which would edify the body, which would bring glory to You. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In this passage of Scripture that we read this morning, I've picked out three what I would consider key verses to our text today, to our subject of seven visions for your life in Christ, seven things that we should understand, seven things that we should see. Those three verses, the first one is verse 12. And in verse 12, he says in the end, "Seek that ye may excel," or go beyond the limit, or go beyond the minimal amount, excel to the edifying, the building up, the construction of the church, the body of Christ. See that you may excel, that you may do very well in building up the body of Christ. We've been talking about that subject of edification, and we said that is the primary function of the church. We need to edify the church, build it up, make it strong, equip it for the work of the ministry. The second main function of the church then would be evangelization. Once we are built up and strong in the faith and rooted and grounded and settled in the Word of God, then we go out beyond our four walls and we begin to evangelize. We begin to spread the good news of Jesus Christ far and beyond the walls of our church, into our Jerusalem, our neighborhood, into the uttermost parts of the earth, around the earth, through our missions program. Edification. We're still talking about edification. We're still talking about how God wants us to see it, how God wants us to view His purpose and our role in edifying the believers. Second main verse would be verse 19, "Yet in the church I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue." And verse 20, "Brethren, be not children in understanding, but in malice be ye children." In other words, Malice would be misbehavior, acting foolishly, being immature. Paul wants us to grow up. Paul wants us to be a family of God that is strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, ready and equipped to do the work of ministry. Let's stop being children. Let's grow up. And then he says, in understanding, be men. Getting and having a vision in life is important. And I'm glad we took this month, January, to focus on that. This message today is a message in which I'm going to explore seven visions to help you grow in God and help you to be edified in your spiritual walk, and to edify and encourage others, to help you be a blessing to others as you interact with other brothers and sisters in Christ and with the body of Christ. Vision. Vision is understanding. In our passage here today, I don't know if you noticed the word understanding kept popping up. As a matter of fact, in those verses that I read, the word understanding is used seven times. Seven times. What's that? Is that a coincidence? Well, maybe. But seven is the number of perfection. Seven is the biblical number for completion. Seven is a special number in God's Word. It keeps coming up over and over again. Understanding. Vision is understanding. Vision is being able to understand God's purpose, God's Word, God's will. Being understanding what God is saying. Being understanding of what God would have us to be doing. Understanding and vision go together. They're synonyms. They're like the hand and the glove. Paul's talking about the use of spiritual gifts, and back in those days, when it was still the apostolic era and when the Word of God needed to be confirmed that it was genuine, the apostles were given the gift of tongues to indicate that God's message was genuine, that it was real. But people who spoke in tongues in a group, in an assembly of believers like this today, nobody who didn't speak in tongues could understand what was being said. And so Paul says that very important statement in the church, verse 19, I would rather speak five words with understanding than to speak 10,000 words in an unknown tongue where people can't understand what I'm saying. If I'm going to pray, I there's times, Paul said, as an apostle, that he might pray in tongues. And it would glorify God, and it would edify, it would help him, it would lift him up and encourage him. But nobody around him hearing would understand what he was saying. I might sing in tongues, Paul said. But nobody around me would be edified. They wouldn't be built up because they wouldn't understand what I'm singing. And so understanding. And it's interesting, I noticed when Daniel, the prophet, was approached about giving King Nebuchadnezzar not only the dream. Nebuchadnezzar says, I had a dream, but I don't remember what it was. So I need somebody who can tell me what the dream was and then tell me what the dream meant. And the Bible says that Daniel was a special man, and God gave Daniel a spirit of understanding. And then I discovered something absolutely astounding. I went to the book of Daniel, and I got my concordance out, and I remembered the Bible talking about Daniel understanding the dreams and the visions. Guess how many times it mentions in Daniel that Daniel had understanding? Seven times. Amen? And you may have noticed that I have a seven-point message today, and you're saying, oh dear. Not only do I have a seven-point message this morning, I have a seven-point message tonight. So hang on. I am going to try to be brief. A couple of weeks ago, we quoted Helen Keller. Helen Keller, as most of you know, was a lady who was blind almost from birth. And so most of her life she was blind, and Helen Keller said this. She said, the only thing worse than being blind is having sight and not being able to see. Think about that. Having sight and not being able to see. To be able to see but not understand, not comprehend. The psalmist said in Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from Whence cometh my help? If I need understanding, I'm going to look to God. That's what the psalmist is saying. I'm going to focus on Him. I get my vision from above. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. In Psalm 123, verses 1 and 2, unto thee lift up I mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God. May that be true of us today. May our eyes look unto the Lord our God. We want vision. We want understanding. Again in Psalm 141, verse 8, this is a psalm of David. David said, mine eyes are turned unto thee, O Lord. In thee is my trust. So what the psalmists seem to be saying in those passages is, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth, they'll grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Seven visions for your life in Christ, or seven visions that affect your Christian walk. Very quickly, the first one would be purpose. We need a vision concerning our purpose in this life. Why am I here? These are very basic things we're talking about today. Why am I here? What is my purpose? My purpose is more than just to get pleasure out of life. God didn't put me here on the face of this earth, nor did He put you here on the face of this earth merely to eat, drink, and be merry. We have a much greater purpose than that, and we should be turning our eyes toward Him to find out what that purpose is. You remember the rich fool in the parable of Jesus in Luke chapter 12, where God had blessed him and prospered him, and his fields brought an abundance of fruit. And he said, I have so much, I'm going to build bigger barns, and I'm going to store all that God has given me, and I'm going to sit back, and I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry, and I'm going to take my ease for many years. And what did God say? Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. The purpose wasn't for him to sit back and enjoy life. God had a different purpose in giving him so much, and God gives you so much. And the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. We are to use that which God has given us for the glory of God, for the furtherance of His kingdom, for the spiritual growth of ourselves and others. Purpose. We should have a vision. We should have our eyes upon God and say, okay, God, what is your purpose for me in 2018? Seeking God's purpose above our own is what we want to do. 2 Timothy 1:9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. God has a purpose for you. He has a plan for your life. And it is not to sit back in your lazy boy recliner and wait for Him to come back. How do we know God's will? We've talked about this past year. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If we get our vision focused upon God's Word, His will be revealed. We need to be in the Word of God. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Zach reminded us in the men's prayer breakfast yesterday how we need to set our affection on things above, not on things on the earth, in order to know God's purpose, in order to see with understanding what God's purpose is. We need to set our affection on things above. We need to be focused on God's Word. Number two, we need to have a relationship. We need to have a vision concerning our relationships. The first and most important relationship is your relationship and my relationship with God. Is it a growing relationship? Do you know Him as you should know Him? Do you know Him more intimately Are you more acquainted with His ways and His word and His will than you were a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago? Are you growing? We need to have vision concerning where this relationship is going. Pursuing a deeper relationship with God. Psalm chapter 63, verse 1. O God, Thou art my God, early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee, my flesh longeth for Thee, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Blessed are those that do hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. We need to be pursuing. Our vision needs to include the pursuit of God. Seeking God. And then we should be pursuing a deeper relationship with others as well. Not eating, drinking, and being merry and consumed upon my own personal life and satisfaction and pleasure. But what about others? Agape love is seeking the needs in others and looking for ways to meet those needs. Philippians chapter 2, verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Would you bear with me as I give you that verse in the New American Standard Bible? It really opens up the meaning to me. It says, do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. 20th century Charles Meigs wrote the beautiful hymn, Lord, help me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Help me in all the work I do to ever be sincere and true, and know that all I do for you must needs be done for others. Let self be crucified and slain and buried deep, and all in vain my efforts be to rise again, unless to live for others. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 25 and 26, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. And one member be honored, all the members rejoice together. What's he saying? He's saying, stop fighting, stop being like children. Grow up, act like men, be strong. Begin to serve others. Begin to be concerned about the needs in other people's lives. We need to have a vision about our relationships. We need to have vision concerning the spiritual warfare that we're in, because, folks, the fact is we are in a battle. Satan would love to destroy you. He would love for you to lose the battle and him get the victory. But in Jesus Christ, praise God, we have the victory. Amen. We need to have an understanding of what our role is in this spiritual battle. We need a vision concerning the spiritual warfare strategy. We need divine protection from the enemy. Psalm chapter 25, verse 20. O my soul, deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in Thee. Do we? Is your trust in the Lord? Do you have a vision that no matter what happens, no matter what takes place in my life this year, I am going to trust the Lord? On every dollar that you and I spend, our forefathers had the foresight to put on every single dollar bill and every single coin that we spend, in God we trust. And we go to battle, we go to courts, we sign petitions to keep it there, and it probably won't always be there. But folks, we need to trust in the Lord. We say in God we trust, but so little of our trust is really in God, folks. If we were honest with ourselves, we think in our human, finite, carnal minds that we are in control. Hello? Who's in control? God is sovereign. Amen? We need a vision concerning the divine protection from evil that God gives. We need a vision concerning the divine calling What is God's call in this battle that we are in? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1, 3, and 4. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. I love Psalm chapter 20, verse 7. Some trust in chariots, and some trust in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Amen? Let's trust in the Lord. Let's put our confidence in Him. I hope we haven't worn out Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13 this year. We've looked at it almost every Wednesday night of 2017. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. With all prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. We need to trust in the Lord. We also need a vision concerning daily guidance. Daily guidance. Decisions. How many decisions do we make every single day, every week, every month, throughout the year? Sometimes we make minor little decisions and you think those are unimportant, but they are, because there is no detail of our life that's unimportant to God. Sometimes we make major decisions. Before you make any decision, you should look to the Lord for guidance. You should pray and seek His will. You should desire to seek direction from God. Psalm chapter 37, verse 23 says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." The steps, your steps, are ordered by the Lord. Finding direction through God's Word. We need a vision that includes seeing that God's Word has all the answers we need. We say that, but we don't live that as Christians many times. We worry and fret and are anxious when the Bible says, "Be anxious for nothing." We need to know that we will find direction when we seek God's Word. Psalm 119, 105, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" The Bible says, "By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God." Finding direction, we need a vision for that. We need a vision, as Brother Bill was saying in Sunday school there at the end this morning, we need a vision concerning missions and evangelism. That's a big part of our church. That's a big part of life. The Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Without a vision, the people perish. Do we have a vision for evangelism and missions? We should be praying, "Lord, let me see this world through your eyes." John chapter 4, verse 35, Jesus said unto his disciples, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already unto harvest." Do we see that? Do we have God's vision on that? Do we have an understanding that I'm a part of that program to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Let me see the Great Commission in a personal way. When the Bible says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father." That "ye" includes me, and it includes you. We are to go into all the world and preach the gospel. As Isaiah was willing to say, "Lord, here am I, send me." We need a vision concerning our role of encouragement. We live in perilous times, folks. We live in troubled days. It gets discouraging, this Christian life. Sometimes the battle is hot and hard. Sometimes the valleys are deep and steep. And we need encouragement. We need encouragement from the Lord. We need encouragement from one another. Do I have a vision of how God wants me to be encouraged this year? Do I have a vision for how God wants me to encourage others? Be encouraged. I love this. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 5 and 6. Listen to these verses. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David, King David, a man after God's own heart, David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. Now you got to read between the lines to get the historical context, all of that in there. It wasn't just David's wives who had been taken hostage and kidnapped by the enemy. It was the sons and the daughters of many of the Israelite families. And they were angry at King David because he wasn't accomplishing victory over this problem. It didn't seem like David was doing anything. There was heartache in David's own family. His own wives had fallen victim to this situation. And David was greatly distressed, it says. But that doesn't stop there. The end of the verse says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. Friends, listen to me. When you have a problem, and I hate to tell you this, but you will have problems this year. Every single one of us will have problems that we will encounter. When you have a problem, you should know in advance that you are determined to go to the Lord. You are going to take that problem to the Lord. And you're not going to allow yourself to become overwhelmed and distressed and defeated. But with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, you're going to let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We need a vision to be encouraged by the Lord. Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 10 says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. We need to be encouraged. We need to have a vision from God about being encouraged. We need to have a vision, understanding from the Lord about being an encourager. Many times we have quoted from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24, 25. And let us consider one another. Let's stop thinking about me so much, and let me think about others. So much of this message is about others, because God wants us to see this world through His eyes. And that includes ministering and helping others, ministering to others. Let us consider one another. Let us stop and think about other people and not myself. Let us consider one another to provoke, stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting, encouraging, building up one another, for as much as ye see the day approaching. We live in perilous times. We need to be encouraging one another. Romans chapter 14, verse 19, Paul says, therefore let us pursue the things which make for peace, and the things by which we may edify, build up one another. Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Don't allow the devil to win. Don't allow your vision to be limited and your eyes to fail to see God's will by saying, I will not forgive that person. If that is the statement of your heart is grieving God, and you're in trouble. Finally, Look at that. 7-point outline. I'm going to get done early today. We need a vision concerning the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And friends, with all my heart and as humbly as I know how, I'm saying I believe that this is an area of need in America's church today like it has never been before. Again, it goes back to that old carnality that says, I am in control. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. We have a master in heaven that we should be listening to, that we should be obeying. His name is Jesus. And that's not a threat, that's a promise. He wants to be Lord of your life when things are going well. He also wants to be Lord of your life when you need to cast all your care upon Him. Because He cares for you. We need a vision concerning the Lordship of Jesus Christ because joy is found only in surrendering to our Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Joy is found only in surrendering to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. What did Jesus come to do? He came to do his Father's will. Not my will, but thine be done. And I forgot to mention John 13:13, just before this. Jesus said to his disciples in John 13:13, ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so am I. You're right when you say, I'm your Lord, I'm your Master. That's right, I am. I'm the head of the church. I'm the God of heaven. I'm the sovereign of the universe. We need to obey Him, friends. In Luke 6:46, and why call ye me Lord, and do not do the things that I say? Ooh. Love for God is demonstrated through obedience. John 14:21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. How are we doing? Do we have a vision for the keeping of God's commandments? Have you determined with understanding of the Word of God that, Lord, when you show me what to do in your Bible, I will do it. I will obey. Father in heaven, as we come to the end of this service today, we have addressed the assembly, the church, people who know you as Lord and Savior. And Lord, we realize that in our midst today, there may be unsaved folks. There may be folks who do not know Jesus Christ as Savior, who have not trusted Him for salvation, for eternal life. And today is the day of salvation. May they not walk out of this place today until by the power of the Holy Spirit, they realize you do love them. You love them so much you sent your only begotten Son into the world to die for them. And by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, they might be saved. They might receive the gift of eternal life today. That's my prayer for the unsaved. But Father in heaven, my prayer is for the church today. My prayer is that we might have a divine, a heavenly vision given to us. Not just concerning these seven areas of our Christian walk, but every single day, every single area, that every room of our heart would have a door that is open to the Holy Spirit. That every area of my life would be exposed to you, and we would be willing without hesitation to say, Lord, search my heart and know my thoughts. And if there's any wicked way in me, Lord, cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And lead me in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. And if Jesus is not Lord, if He is not my Master, if I am not obeying Him, if I'm not in love with Him, Father, forgive me. Oh God, forgive us for wanting to do our thing. Forgive us for wanting to be in control and to have it my way. Forgive us for saying, my sin's not so bad when I compare it to everybody else. Help me to realize that I have been called to holiness. That I need to be a living sacrifice that places myself on the altar and says, Lord, I'm here to serve You. May we, Lord, be willing to surrender everything to You today, to submit to You, to say, in 2018, dear God, may Jesus Christ be Lord. Move in our hearts today, Father. Soften the hardness. Crush the boulders in our life. Unlock the doors of stubbornness and sin. Lord, we seek revival, but we will never have revival until we humble ourselves before God and turn from our wicked ways and make Jesus the Lord of our lives. Lord, I ask that You will do what only God can do during this invitation today. In Jesus' name. Amen.